Welcome to Beaver Bites. This is your co-host, Lars Gunderson. I'm here, as always, with Miguel Morales and...
What up?
Corinne Nelson.
Ew!
Woo!
All right.
I know you're not used to hearing my voice here, and neither am I. This is round two of me trying to improvise an intro. Miguel's throwing me on the spot here.
Nice.
So, welcome to our special episode. We're here for a Q&A, and I'm pumped.
I'm pumped, woo-woo, too. Yeah. How you doing, Corinne?
Again, I'm tired. Hanging in there. I am dreaming of a quesadilla right now. That sounds so good.
Oh, that's very specific.
It is. Well, I had a quesadilla yesterday and the day before, so I'm like really, really still in my roots of being a college
student. Hold on. You need to save that for the Q&A because that's one of the questions today.
Actually,
what food are you dreaming of right now? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, that would be very ironic.
You're taking me back to freshman year of college, going to West Dining Center, to Serrano's, and getting that quesadilla with the mango and iced tea half and half drink by Arizona.
Any guac with that?
Of course. Okay. Sour cream, guac, pico.
Now you're making me hungry. Dude, Serrano's is like pretty, really, really good. I didn't try it until maybe close to the end of my freshman year. But the whole like freshman 15 thing, like you come into Oregon State and you gain some poundage. Well, that was me, except 17 pounds, but all because I had beef brisket for dinner every single flipping day for fall term.
Yeah, but what the listeners don't know, Corinne, that it was all gains, baby. All gains.
No, I didn't need a belt after that point. Like, and yeah, so.
Oh, you didn't need a belt in the weight room. Got you.
Okay. I appreciate the direction change, but that was not. I just got fat, is what I'm saying. Not actually fat, but like a little bit more jiggle.
So funny thing about the freshman 15. In my first term of college, I had a 20-pound weight change in the negative direction.
Oh, I lost
20 pounds my first term of college.
All those quesadillas. That's
yeah.
All.
Dang. Did you not eat or something?
I ate plenty. It was just being more active with marching band and then also not having as immediate of access to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches all the time because I would load those things up.
Oh, really? Just inhale those?
Yeah.
That also sounds good.
In fact, since probably my sophomore year of high school, I had the weight I would fluctuate around was about 265. Mm. When I stopped eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches a year or two back, I now have lost like 15 pounds of weight I fluctuate around just with that one change, I'd say.
Wow.
So question real quick. What do you think contributes to the freshman 15? Because it's not just the food. There's got to, and probably, like, lack of physical activity, but it's, like, there's something specific about freshman year that leads to what is known as the freshman 15.
I think it's obviously stress, too, because it's, for some people, like, from what I remember, it was a stressful year for some people. And then you're eating this food that's kind of high quality, kind of not high quality, depending on where you go, but also a little bit more high in the caloric intake. Like Serrano's, you like just meat, like they pound your bowl with food. And I was the type of person, I don't do this anymore now, but to pack it away. And then I wasn't too stressed out my freshman year, but the inactivity and eating a lot more, you know, calories and just trying to navigate life and try to figure out myself on top of other, like, emotionally charging things. But, you know, there's a lot of factors, I feel like, that go into it. And I wasn't really that active. Well, prior to that year, actually, my senior year, I was pretty active. But I just stopped being active. And marching band wasn't too hard to do for me, so I didn't really get a huge, like...
Workout
yeah. In that regard.
Yeah, for me it wasn't so much that it was hard, it's just that so much portion of my life was activity, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, because I did way harder sports all through high school. I wrestled through most of high school. But
Yeah.
I think also just when you go run off to college, you have so much more freedom, so much more power.
With all
great
the brisket.
Power comes great responsibility. but freshmen aren't necessarily equipped for said responsibility. Yep. So you can just go get brisket every day. You can just go get a pint of Ben and Jerry's.
That was the other thing. Oh my gosh.
Every day. Yeah.
Literally, I'd eat at like one, like in an hour sitting, the whole thing. And that is too many calories. Because they say on the, I actually have some at my house right now, which I haven't really eaten.
The trend continues.
I'm probably going to give it to Cassidy or something because I don't really
eat. Don't let Miguel shame you out of your ice cream.
I'm just pointing out some observations here. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just pointing out observations.
It says on the ingredients and like what's the serving size per container, and a quarter cup is like 230 calories. Mm-hmm. And there's like, how much is in a pint? I'm a college graduate. I should know
this.
How
many cups are in a pint?
How many... Quarter cups
or
in a
cups
pint.
Are going quarter
so cups in a pint would be what? Two?
Is it eight?
Is it two or four?
I thought it was eight. Sorry, I thought it was 2 cups in a pint. And I thought.
I think it's 60. Is it 64 or 128 in a gallon?
128 are in a gallon.
So a pint is half of a quart. So 16.
A quart is 4 gallons. So 1/8 of a gallon. So whatever 128 divided by 8 is. I'm looking at you, Lars, because you're the math major.
Yeah, the pressure is on. So you got 64, 32, 16.
So 16. 16.
That's ounces, yeah, right? So that's ounces.
Wait, yeah, so that's 2 cups.
Yeah, two cups
in a pint. Yeah.
So we're talking 8 servings in a container of Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, 8 servings. So it's like 230 for that one specifically times 8. So 1 pint of those that I've had at multiple occasions in one sitting, at least a couple times a week during freshman year, that's like 1,800 calories.
Dang.
In one of those.
Nice.
Dang.
On top of that beef brisket with that nice gristling and fatty.
Oh, that brisket with that mac and cheese. Did you get that mac and cheese?
I was like, that's too high calories for me. I'm not going to get the mashed cheese. I'm going to get the potatoes.
I would go full brisket, mac and cheese, and sweet tea. Mm. I was just not worried about
it. Wow, that is... That's every day.
I should clarify.
Oh,
I eventually gained that weight back.
Dare I say rounded out, I guess? I don't know. Like,
you were basically just feeding the beast. Ezekiel Elliott just... little spoon to the mouth all day, every day. That was you, Corinne.
Yep.
You know, going at it.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
No off days, you know. Stay hungry.
And I thought, I was like, man, I haven't gained any weight. And then I, like, looked at myself after I got home for winter break. And I... the flashbacks. Now I don't do that anymore. I am aware of what I eat. And I make sure that I'm gaining the amount of calories that I should every day. And balancing that out. And exercising.
Yeah. And that's... I think that's just something that happens to a lot of high schoolers that go into college. They just let their guard down.
Yes.
Because they're just more worried about, I want to experience college. I want to have fun. Da, da, da.
No
boundaries. I don't really care about the other stuff.
Yeah.
But then once it hits you, you're like, oh, I can't see my feet anymore. What happened? You know?
Yep.
And then the hard realization hits you, like, so at some point, late winter term, early spring term, you're like, well, Shasta's coming up. Better go to the gym now. So that's usually the realization. But speaking of college, this last Saturday, OSU had its 150th commencement ceremony for the class of 2019 at Oregon State. So I just want to mention that, give them a shout out, give myself a shout out included too. Because Corinne and I finished. Boom! You know? So that's exciting.
Well, one big congratulations to you too.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you heard that plenty of times on
actually,
the day.
Actually, not really.
Really? Yeah. Everyone was saying it when I graduated.
Like that? Not like
congratulations.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
I wasn't congratulated like that.
No, it was a lot of, let me take your picture. get with the family, take the picture. Wasn't a lot of congratulations.
I don't know. It was interesting. I got flowers twice.
Oh,
which for a guy, that's kind of interesting.
I didn't even get my diploma. Jeez, like, you got your diploma and flowers? You're living the dream.
I didn't know what to do with it. I was like, these go in water. That's all I know.
You just appreciate them and then they die. So it's a sweet sentiment for just a short period of time.
Today's episode is a Q&A episode.
Yes.
So for you listeners out there, we appreciate those people who sent their questions in, who have those burning, dying questions that they have wondered and pondered since the beginning of Earth till this moment. And we're here to answer those deep philosophical questions. No, I'm kidding. But, however, this is kind of how we'll roll with it. We'll go by just one person at a time who has sent their questions, because some people sent in multiple questions, some people sent in one.
We didn't quite specify, which is fine, because we want your questions.
Yeah, but we'll be more than happy to go through each one. So what's going to happen is each of us have different set of questions. So whoever's asking the question will just ask the question, and then the other two people will reply, and then whoever asked the question will get to reply at the end of it. Sound good?
Go Beavs.
Okay.
Go Beavs.
So guys, this first question is from Gabriella Zott. So she's got a big, big load of questions here. So the first one says, and I'll read it word for word how she said it. Okay, well, who actually can eat the most out of the three of you?
Yeah, that's hands down Lars.
You wanna give your opinion, Lars?
Well, it's me.
but here's what she says. Like, everyone has equal amounts of hunger. Who can get the most down?
Who can get the most down? That's me. You respect me.
I think at this precise moment, it's Lars.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's Lars at this precise moment.
Right, because you already ate, so you're kind of chilling.
No, we're talking
equal. No. I think how I've conditioned myself up until this point, I haven't been eating a lot lately. So I'm going to give it to Lars.
What you trying to say, bro?
I'm going to give it to Lars, and the future will determine something different. But for now...
To be clear, these two have competitions at Chipotle to see who can eat the quesarito the fastest.
And just to give all due respect to Miguel, our last attempt, we raced each other. And not only did we both beat the previous record held by either of us, but we perfectly tied.
It was quite animalistic. The forks were ditched.
It was a beautiful, glorious experience, you were there.
It was quite interesting to watch.
It was the most natural way of eating food.
The guac spilling down your face into your beards, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how it was meant to be done. But in case you're curious, the record right now is 3 minutes and 55 seconds. So if you want to beat that, feel free. If you want to know what the conditions are to, beat that time,
join us. That would be good. Yeah. Like, let's hang out with Beef Bites. Let's see if we can eat a quesarito the fastest. That'd be
fun.
A good thing.
If anybody can do it, I will happily give them 3 high fives. So,
Just three.
But next question from her. So it's another question, What is everyone's favorite type of food?
Type of food. What does type of food mean? Favorite food or favorite type of food?
I think this is just like, open interpretation at this point.
Okay.
Like Italian or German or Mexican or American Mexican or totally.
Well, it's up to you. If you want to go by culture or if you want to go by specific dish, it's up to y'all.
Man, that's a really tough one, but the classic go-to for me has always been lasagna.
Okay.
Like, pretty much any lasagna I've ever eaten has been a delightful experience, with a rare exception here or there, but even those microwave lasagnas that aren't very good, I still love those. But my mom, though, you guys have had her lasagna.
Yes.
She made it on my birthday.
Hands down, eat that again.
Yeah. That is the best lasagna ever. Like, she can fluctuate sometimes, and the worst lasagna she's ever made is, like, the best lasagna most people have ever made. So you're either going for a pretty good lasagna, or you're getting just a delightful, just outstanding experience of food.
Okay. Corinne?
I would say right now, like, anything fried rice. Fried rice, like pineapple fried rice. Mmm. It's real tasty. That's good stuff.
Oh, man. Do you guys remember Young's Kitchen?
Young's Kitchen?
Yeah.
Was that here?
It was. It's where Jersey Mike's is now.
Oh, never heard
went.
Of it.
Ooh, I went with our friend Cade Gerlach. He took me there. And he has this this fried rice dish that he would order there. And he had the perfect cocktail of sauce nailed down to go with it.
Mm.
Oh, that was so good. And both of us, when we're hanging out, will just lament over the fact that we don't get to eat that again because Young's Kitchen closed down.
It's sad.
It was like a shrimp fried rice with their katsu sauce and handful of other things. And he taught me how to use chopsticks. And that was the dish I learned to use chopsticks on.
Sounds like a good bonding moment.
Heck yeah. That was pretty early in our friendship, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. What was it called? Young's Kitchen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Young's Kitchen.
You know what I still want to try? Because Brandon Webster said it, the Woodsman, even though it's not local, but that's
okay. Philomath?
Yeah.
Maybe someday,
yeah.
Karen.
Maybe someday.
Maybe
someday
tonight. I don't know. Like.
Okay.
Okay.
I would say, though, salmon. I just love salmon.
Ooh,
too much.
Salmon.
Yeah. Salmon.
Yes.
That's
so
it.
Good.
Can't get any more blunt than that. And if you you listeners want to make me salmon, wouldn't be opposed to that.
This last...
What are you smoking, Miguel?
Salmon.
Oh, good.
Hey.
Can I have some?
Saturday, we didn't have salmon. We could have, but it was my sister's. My sister graduated the same day that I did, and she had a graduation party at her in-law's house. And they go ham on food.
No, so like ham a lot?
No. They had... No. They had grilled chicken and, like, 25, you heard this, Lars, 25, like, probably 6 ounces steaks of filet mignon. Like,
wow.
Yes. And they had prime rib and grilled shrimp just for the meat courses.
Bro.
And then they had all these different types of, like, salads and stuff. And, that was... I had all of the meat choices. That was so good. Thinking about it right now. I'm a little hungry.
I just got hungry just by listening to that.
It was really good. The Fosters know how to cook, for sure. And
Foster Farms.
There you go.
That's it.
Not quite, but still just as even tastier, I guess.
Fair enough. All right, here's the next one. It's kind of interesting, so brace yourselves. Also, what sort of socks do you have on right now? And are they matching? Is sock matching something that is important to you guys?
So I'm wearing the one true best sock. It is the white gold toe brand short ankled but not all the way down sock. You want those ankle socks but not the ones that go down inside your shoe. You need an inch sticking up there.
I agree, because if you walk long enough, the back of the shoe will scrape the back of your heel.
Exactly.
Happened to me in soccer this last week.
You get all the luxury of having long socks without the miserable heat of having long socks. It's the perfect combo.
And
gold toe
standard,
knows how to make
a
sock.
Yeah.
And of course my socks match. If your socks don't match, well, I guess that's all right. But I disagree.
If I need to do laundry, I don't care if my socks don't match. But if I do laundry, the socks have to match. I'd prefer. I'm currently not wearing socks right now. I'm actually currently wearing my new Birkenstocks that I got because I had enough money to get myself a grad present, and my mom told me not to pay it on bills. She said, go buy something for yourself. So that's what I did. So I'm currently sockless. So my feet are matching, if that answers the question.
I got you. I'm wearing dress socks because I got out of my work clothes. Oh, you can't see them. But I didn't want to switch out socks to, I don't know. I mean, these are the same one my boy Mark Andrews typically wears. So he knows exactly what I'm wearing right now.
Nice.
As for sock matching, I think if you can put an artistic, like, oomph to it, I can appreciate it.
Like there's aesthetic going on.
Right. But but if it's a bunch of nonsense happening there... Come on, bro. Let's go find that other sock, you know?
Yeah, if you've got, like, a knee-high white crew sock and then, like, a a black short sock on the other foot. Like, what are you doing?
Exactly. Like, what? Like, that's just laziness. That's just you're slacking, bro. Your sock game is slacking. But moving on. Here's the next question. Sure. Also, whose phone / device do you record Beaver Bites on? Are there any outtakes / do you edit things out?
I don't know if we should give away our studio setup. Maybe that's just a listener secret that they will have to.
A guest secret?
Yeah.
I can respect that.
I can imagine these crazy scenarios. Like maybe it's a card table in Miguel's bedroom with his laptop and a microphone. Or maybe it's this elaborate setup with Nathan's fancy computer and super nice stuff. Like, who knows what it is?
But anyways, Gabby, we don't edit out
things. Is all live.
This is all raw.
Like, we don't even do spit takes. Like, this is, like, all live. And if we mess up, we giggle and make fun of Corinne for saying jikama and
what is it?
And burger jerger boint and arugula or whatever I said.
I mean, there is an outtake almost every episode where I claim to be Eric Bober built on beeves.
And we restart the episode, but it's pretty straightforward. So you're hearing this raw and unedited because we like to be raw and unedited. So
also, the reason this is our second take of today was that the first one we just had an error on the computer, so we had to start over.
And that was a sad day, but here we are.
And with that, she asks, "If there are some bloopers, will you share some with us?"
You are getting the bloopers.
Jikama!
Jikama! That could be a merch shirt.
I'm just saying, to get the true bloopers, you have to be on the set.
You really do. So, you really, really do. So, Gabby, be a guest, yeah?
She is. She is one of the people on the list. Her turn hasn't come up yet, but she will get a piece of these bloopers.
Nice.
So, hang in there, Gabby. But we do have more questions. Corinne, you want to hit us with those next ones?
So, Nathan Diebel, a.k.a. my fiancé, sent out some tweets at us. And he goes, "Hey, Beef Bites, for your Q&A, could you answer these three questions of mine? First one, what is your least favorite food that is offered to you regularly?"
It's easy. Sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes? You don't like sweet potatoes?
I've come to a point where we have reconciled, but there's still some tension. But that is the food that I like the least that has been offered the most to answer that question.
Would you eat, as a hypothetical question? So, Thanksgiving time, my mom makes these things called yam balls. So you use sweet potatoes. And you soften the sweet potatoes, make the mixture with, like, there's, like, a little bit of brown sugar, a little bit of nutmeg, and some cinnamon. Yeah. Mix that all together and an egg.
Just a raw egg.
Just a raw egg. Well, hear me out. And then you scoop it up, and then you put a marshmallow in the middle of it, roll it over, and then you roll that whole sweet potato ball with the marshmallow in the middle of it with Frosted Flakes, and then you bake it.
Sounds very sugary.
Yeah.
What is your question?
Would you eat it?
Yes, but to not be rude. So here's the thing, Corinne. I eat things that I don't like, but I'm like, I don't want to be rude, or I actually need this in my body.
Yeah.
That's me. Like, if you know me, I will eat things sometimes I don't even like, but I eat them because I don't want to be rude, or because I know I need that stuff in my body. So, yes.
So, do you really need sardines in your body?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get that omega-3, you know? Yeah. So it's like, hey, I haven't had an omega-3 in a while. Let's pop sardines. And sardines are delicious.
It's just what they look and smell like, man. I don't know. I can't pop those in my mouth.
Just pop it like brisket.
Ugh. Yeah. Blech. Lars, what about you?
Well, this is a tricky one because I make it a point. If there's an ingredient that I don't like, then I make it a point to make myself like it. Like onions, I hated forever. And now I just try to make myself like them a little more, and I can eat onions now. They're fine. The two things that come to mind are almonds, one, because they are delicious, and they're offered to me all the time, but I'm allergic to them.
No.
And it's a minor allergy, so I'm always tempted to eat them, but I usually end up regretting that. So it's just this torturous thing where they're right there, and I could eat them, and it would be delicious. But if I do, I'm not going to enjoy that.
Do you have an EpiPen?
I don't need one. It's minor. It's just, like, sores in my mouth and stuff.
Bro.
Ooh, that's not fun, though. Because then you have to deal with that.
I think you should carry one. And if you don't want to hold on to it, I can hold on to it for you. So.
On what? Why?
Just to save your life. Also, because I think it would be fun to staff someone with an EpiPen. Also, no. I'm CPR and first aid certified now. So.
I think they might revoke that if they hear this episode. I got you.
They don't have to know. Anyways.
Would you stab him in the cheek because his mouth is having a
lot? Not in the cheek. What?
Good. Good.
I would stab him in the thigh.
Good job. Good. This is showing your certification here.
Yo, hey, man, I'm trying to save you. I'm not
save me from what?
From, like, a shock and you go into anaphylactic.
From what?
From almonds.
But he's not going to die. So,
anyways.
The other ingredient, or no, the other food that I had in mind was popcorn.
Oh.
Because, you know, popcorn's fine, and if it's there, I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to continue to eat it, because I have no impulse control. But it's just not worth it. It's just not worth the feeling of just too much popcorn
going
up your mouth, all that salt. And it's everywhere.
Low sodium
diet,
baby.
Downstairs, you guys probably still have 30 bags of it sitting in your snack can. And
we do.
It's just like, come on. Why is it always popcorn?
Oh, why is it always popcorn?
Oh, and when people put sugary stuff in popcorn, terrible. Terrible.
Taking shots right now. All right. Corinne says
popcorn should be salty and buttery, and that's it.
So, have you tried my recipe with that?
Yeah.
And you didn't like it?
I mean, I'm being a little dramatic when I say terrible, but...
It's not your favorite.
Yeah,
because that's, like, your mode of popcorn is, like, salty and buttery.
If I'm being honest, Corinne, I think it's...
Meh. It's just another option that women like to eat, okay?
Oh, generalizing. Anyways, I didn't say that.
Let the record show that
Corinne said that.
A lot of girls' nights this last couple terms, so, you know, that was it. That was the staple food. To answer that question, I cannot eat Cheetos or Goldfish or any, like, high-processed, like, Cheez-Its or stuff like that. And that's pretty offered to me regularly, actually. I was sick this last weekend, and a good friend of ours dropped off a care package, and they had Goldfish in it. And it was sad because I was like, this is so sweet, but I can't eat it. Because I developed this weird reaction when I eat those types of highly processed, like, cheese products. Like, my mouth tastes really, 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 like, different and develops a kind of coat on the whole. It's not just, like, part of my mouth. It's, like, all of it. And my stomach hurts. So, yeah.
Dang.
People are like, you want Goldfish? And I used to be able to eat them.
You, like, just smile back at them and say thank you.
Yes. Because I just can't eat it.
You're just like, no thanks.
Which helps my, you know, impulse control, you know. Because those things I would, like, pound away on. Cheetos and PB&J.
Cheetos and PB&J?
And, well, you could do that. That was also tasty.
I'm not okay with this.
I'm not okay with that either.
No.
That sounds awful.
It does.
Like, I don't care how it tastes. Regardless of how it tastes, that sounds awful.
You get the crunch with
the cheese would ruin it.
And it tastes so good.
No.
And that sounds so good thinking about it, but I can't eat Cheetos.
That's wrong.
Next question. Okay. Moving this along.
That is very wrong.
Quick clarification. Popcorn belongs in movie theaters and is very welcome there.
There you go.
Important clarification.
What is the weirdest animal and plant you've ever eaten?
Weirdest plant / animal we've ever eaten? Oh, that's easy. Frogs.
Frogs.
Yeah. I've had frog legs before.
Hmm.
Tasty. Actually, a century-old egg, which is basically like...
What is that, a plant or an animal?
It's basically an egg that looks green, has basically been past, like, the normal expiration date type looking thing. It just tastes like a smelly...
That's so disgusting.
Like, I'm not going to say it's rotten, but it just tastes kind of like a smelly egg while you're eating it, and there's like a little embryo in the middle.
Oh, ew.
I've had that.
Gross.
I've had that.
What? It's an animal since it has that embryo
in
the
middle. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's probably the weirdest thing I ate. I never touched the embryo technically with my mouth, so I just ate kind of the outer part.
Ew. Ew.
I can't eat the embryo. I just can't.
Yeah. No. A century? Really? 100 years?
Yeah, that's just called that.
Oh.
It's just called, I don't think it's a 100-year-old egg.
I was like,
I think it's
you,
just labeled like that.
Oh, just because it's disgusting?
Because it's like green and...
Gross.
Kind of, yeah. No, I'm sorry.
Everybody that's listening is probably like, more than the Cheetos and the PB&J. Anyways.
I'm still thinking on animal, but plant-wise, I've got mine.
Yeah.
You guys ever taken a bite out of a stalk of rhubarb?
Yes.
Just straight rhubarb?
Like raw?
Yeah. Yes. If you're not careful, it's super poisonous, and you can die from it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I didn't die from it, so that's
good. I think it's the leaf part that's poisonous. Okay. But if it's the stalk, that's what you put in. Like, strawberry rhubarb pie is the way to go. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, it's so sour. It'll just lock your jaw up right away. I think I was just driving around with my grandma. We went to a local farm. Might have been my mom. I don't remember who. Maybe both. And we had rhubarb for some recipe. And I was just like, huh, what does rhubarb taste like? Try it. It's weird. Okay. Take a bite. Oh, just like instant bitterness just consuming me. Oh, such a weird feeling. And not exactly a bad taste, but definitely not a good taste.
I will have to try that and figure that out, because like strawberry rhubarb pie has like that little sweet and sourness to it, but yeah. I can imagine that can
It's a perfectly acceptable ingredient, but just having it by itself
is burn your taste buds. I tried aloe vera as a plant.
Oh, it's so good in that juice, like that juice that they make from it.
Oh, you like that stuff?
No, like raw.
It's great. I think it's raw, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, take a bite, you just pick up the plant and eat it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I did that. Not a big fan, but it's good on sunburns and blistering ears. That's what I used it for. As far as animal, like, the weirdest thing I could say is squid.
Yeah.
But that's not...
Just like calamari.
Yeah, it's not really
so good.
Weird.
So good.
I love calamari.
What's
it's
your plant?
It's so chewy, but a plant.
Yeah.
Either ginger or I've eaten like a weed before, like those that grow in your garden.
Just for funsies.
I was a kid. I don't know. I just want to know what it tasted like.
And it was gross.
Tasted gross. Yeah. And I was like, you know.
Well, yeah. I think I've tried that flavor. It's like a dandelion or something. Just that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you see, like, dogs munching on it. And you're like, oh, I want some of that, too. And you're like, bleh. You know?
And for me, it was mostly just I was playing with them, got the stuff on my hands, and then just put my hands in my mouth and accidentally.
It tastes wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. My animal. Band trip to Vegas. We went to the Bellagio Buffet.
Oh, bless.
So expensive.
Yes.
But I don't regret it. It was a cool experience. Pretty good food. But there were these little miniature octopi. And some of them were just a shapeless lump. But some of them were actually shaped like an octopus. And they
literally
had the tentacles. And they were just like, just so small. Just like maybe the entire...
Bite size.
The largest radius of them was probably like an inch. Just bite-sized little octopi. And when I put that thing in my mouth, it like I could feel it wiggling in there. Not like it was alive, but just from the motion of eating it, just like tickling the inside of my mouth. And, ooh, that was weird.
That still sounds good.
It just tasted like buttered fish. It was good, but
a little chewy too.
It was a really cool texture. I did like that. It tasted good. I didn't regret eating it, but that feeling of it just tickling the inside of my mouth was.
When I was
shocking.
There for also a band trip, I remember seeing that, and I was like, I have to try this. Because this is something very different than I'm used to, and I would totally agree. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
And next question. I lost my spot. How long has it been since the last time you threw up because of food? Food poisoning counts.
So, when I was 8, we had cooked broccoli and some nacho cheese. And so, like, we normally, like, you dip the broccoli in nacho cheese, and I really liked it. So I just, like, ate like a whole crown of broccoli, but there was still some cheese left in that pan, you know, so I grabbed a spoon and stuff, and then I took my finger, I just cleaned it out, you know. 15 minutes later, I'm like going to the sink, because I feel like something's about to come out, I go, because the taste was so much in there. Also, it was like cheap nacho cheese, so it was just like, I just had a bad aftertaste, and it just all came out, like,
oh,
like
my.
It was raining broccoli.
Oh my.
Like,
Nathan, why should
and so, and so, my dad, he was so upset with me that he took my toothbrush, cleaned the whole sink with my toothbrush.
Oh.
And made you keep using it?
No, he threw it away, but I didn't have a toothbrush for like 2-3 days.
I feel like that creates the opposite effect, but.
Of?
You just threw up. And now you don't have a toothbrush, so you have throw-up taste in your mouth for a couple days?
Yeah. I mean, I had it from a mouthwash I just used and then called it good. But, yeah, I didn't have a toothbrush for, like, 2-3 days.
Gross.
But, I mean, I couldn't make it to the toilet. I tried so hard. I ran, and I held it back as much as I could. But, at the end of the day, it just, you know.
Dang.
Can't stop force and pressure, so.
That's rough.
That's my last time.
Awful. What about you, Lars?
Well, it was back my junior year
back a while.
Of college. So what is that, like 4 or 5 years, something like that? I think 4 years. And it, you know, I don't drink anymore, but this was also one of my first times getting drunk and one of the more drunk I've gotten. But it was actually the food that made me throw up. So we were going to this birthday party. And I started it off with an entire Little Caesars pizza because I was hungry and made poor decisions in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I ate that whole Little Caesars pizza, go into the party. There's this delicious homemade guacamole at the party. And we're all eating it. We're all enjoying it. And then it's guacamole sitting out throughout this long, night-long party. And I just keep going for it as I'm also getting excessively drunk. And, yeah, I had a lot of that guacamole long after it was safe to eat it. So that night, I did not have the best time throwing up hard chunks of Little Caesar's pizza with guacamole and bourbon. Yeah, and then I continued to have food poisoning through the next, the fall, like it was like 48 hours of food poisoning. And it was also a band trip. Gosh. That I went on the next day. So that whole trip was just miserable. It was supposed to be this fun time with friends, and I was just throwing up the whole time. It was awful.
I'm trying not to throw up right now. I'm like...
Nathan, why?
Nathan, why? Why you gotta go there, man?
I know. What the heck?
He didn't just say how long. He didn't say to describe it, but...
But we all did,
true,
I guess.
He put us in that spot.
My mom made this. She doesn't do this anymore because of me. Haha. It was probably 10 or 11, 12 maybe. Chicken pot pie. Homemade chicken pot pie. And she made the homemade crust and everything. And she used a lot of cornmeal. And I think that's what I don't know what it was, but it was the cornmeal. It was the taste. I ate it and threw up right afterwards. I can't have it. It's that whole psychological thing. Can't have it after doing that. So anytime people are like, you want chicken pot pie? I'm like, mm-mm.
Nope.
Just even thinking about it, I don't want to hurl. And so, like, things with cornmeal in it, it's a hard gamble. I actually ate something recently that had cornmeal in it.
Domino's?
No.
Domino's has cornmeal.
Well, that probably made sense to why my stomach hurt, because it was also gross. I stuck it out. I only ate 2 pieces, even though Nathan bought it. I was like, I can't.
Okay. Just so you know, every time you eat Domino's, there's some cornmeal in there.
It's probably on my stomach. I've just noticed I developed some sensitivities as I gotten older. It's very interesting. Good thing I'm not lactose intolerant, because I really like milk.
At least not yet.
Shh. I got one.
That's fake wood. Actually, it's probably real, but
yeah, it looks real.
Not real enough.
Anyway. As a not wood expert, that looks real.
As a not wood expert. Okay, so those are all my questions. Thank you, Nathan, for making us really contemplate why we talk on this show.
Let's proceed, because I don't want to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, no.
Lars, what do you got for us, my man?
Well, my mom sent us one good quick question on Facebook.
Nice.
She asked, have you ever considered critiquing ballpark concession stands?
So, So
maybe he's on it.
This is speculation for now, but the podcast known as Built on Biebs has reached out recently to collab in the near future on a
really
on a collab episode of where we would go with two games and try concession food.
Ooh.
So we have not yet critiqued Dang. Concession food, but that it is something to look forward to.
I'm hyped right now. That would be great.
Yeah.
This is speculation for the moment.
Yeah.
This is something they threw out. This is something that's in the back of the mind.
So it'd be six of us?
It'd be six of us.
Six of us. Awesome.
Be a big episode.
Oh, because, Zeke, Nate, and Eric?
Yeah, they got three now. We got our three amigos.
Oh, is Eric back with them?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Have you not been listening?
Not recently.
So quick shout out to them. If you haven't listened to Built on Biebs, check them out. They're good buddies of ours. They run Beaver Sports through that. So they're starting back up soon, kind of around August time. So right now they're on their little hiatus. wonder where they got that from. But but yeah, catch them. You can listen to their previous stuff. Their first season is available, but they will come out with their second season. But yeah, that's something to look forward to.
It's a good listen, for sure. I enjoy the commentary between the two, now three.
Yeah, it's going to be great. The last one has all three of them. It's actually a little taste of what it could be like. But yeah, check them out.
The personalities mix well, you know.
It's true.
Miguel. Yeah.
Yes.
So, question round. So
we got two more.
We
got two more.
I'm not done with the previous question. Thank you very much. I just want to give a little background on that. My mom actually works for a lodge in Roseburg, and she does a lot of the ballpark concessions for the middle school level baseball games at a park they have there. I've also had thoughts toward reviewing concession food. I've heard from Brandon Webster that because his brother is on the Corvallis High School JV baseball team, that they have some sweet deals. I don't remember the exact prices, but some sweet deals on ballpark food at those games.
Really?
So I think it'd be a lot of fun to go to the high school baseball game, eat the sweet deal food.
That'd be interesting because it's like, I wonder if the food quality, probably does, but the quality changes between a high school game and a collegiate game. Because collegiate games got companies and other businesses,
right?
Tagging along.
High school is boosters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More generic,
I like it. Yeah, I think one thing they do is they'll take a bag of Fritos, open the bag, and make a Frito pie in the bag, which is interesting.
Huh.
I'd try it.
Yeah.
That's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Would this be a wrong time to go in the studio kitchen to make a PB&J sandwich and come back? I can be done in 2 minutes.
I mean, we have more questions that we'd like you to answer.
I mean, I can answer them. I can go speedy quick. Plus, speed
revise.
What,
are we supposed to entertain the crowd for 2 minutes?
just leave a big gap here.
What is
happening right now?
What? Just too hungry, huh?
I am starving. One sec, I'm speeding.
Go. What, are you going to eat on the microphone? We tried that. It sounds bad.
Just left.
Wow, I feel abandoned. What do we do?
Well, I mean, in the meantime, this is probably a good time to probably talk about social media and how our listeners can keep in touch with us while we're working on stuff. So in case you don't know, we're available on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook.
Email.
So for email, we're at Corvallis Beaver Bites.
Isn't it Beaver Bites?
Other way around. My bad. BeaverBitesCorvallis@gmail.com. Then on Snapchat, it's just Beaver Bites, all lowercase. You can find us that way super easily. Twitter, it's beev@beev.bites. Same thing on Snapchat, it's @beev.bites. And on Facebook, it's just Beaver Bites. So that's the way you guys can get connected with us. Again, if you guys would like to be guests on this show and see Corinne run out and make a PB&J, feel free and email us. We'd love to have you guys on. It's a pretty short list right now, so I mean, it wouldn't be a super long wait at this point. But if that's something you guys would like to do with us, hey, feel free to shoot us an email, send us a DM, send us a message, whatever you want, but check us out. And Lars, anything else our listeners should know?
I'm back. I did it.
I think you guys should know that Corinne is back, and she did it.
I did it.
I sincerely apologize if we end up with horrendous chewing sounds, because we did test eating on
the microphone
once. I could
hear the spoon downstairs.
And it was rough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep the chewing to a minimum there, Corinne.
Those crumbs falling off the table now. But anyways, let's shift back into gears. We've got, was that all the questions you had on your
Yeah.
Okay. So, final two questions, and I really like this one. This one's from my boy Eric Bober. So, Eric asks, what food chain, parenthesis, national or local, would you like to see open in Corvallis?
Ooh. Mod Pizza.
Okay.
Mod Pizza.
So many of our Illinois friends from church will be very happy to hear you say that.
It's great.
I know our friend Mike has been wanting a Mod Pizza for a long time. He talks about it all the time. A lot of people want Mod Pizza around here.
There's a bunch up north, like in Portland and Beaverton.
Down south in Eugene, too, they got one. Come on, Mod.
Have you had Mod?
Yeah, it's a solid place.
Yeah.
And I'm a guy who, I don't hate pizza, but I don't get too excited about it. It's pretty good. I like it. Like the way it rolls.
Yeah.
Lars, what about you? What's a place you'd like to see open around these here parts?
You know, I think I gotta go with Chick-fil-A. I just keep hearing about it. Never tried it.
Oh, you've never tried Chick-fil-A?
Never tried Chick-fil-A.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to give it a shot. People really talk it up, especially now that I have so many friends who came from out of state. And, you know, I just always hear about how good Chick-fil-A is, and I'm thinking it's fast food. How good can it be? But
as a person who's eaten there before, it's okay. And I'm sure I'm going to get some pitchforks and fire my way.
It's kind of like In-N-Out, where, like, if it's something you grew up on, it's like, oh, yeah.
Right, right.
So I'll kind of help Corinne out a little bit. I just think it's normal, good chicken. That's it. Normal, good chicken being served in a few different forms. That's all I see it as.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah. Like, it's decent food. It's decent fast food.
So are they more like chicken sandwiches or like KFC style?
Chicken sandwiches.
Oh. Yeah.
With your...
What is this vibrating I'm hearing? Someone talking downstairs?
Oh, Nathan is calling me.
All right.
Yeah. Anyways, but my place... Oh, you kind of took mine.
You were going to say Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, that would have been nice. But I think runner-up... Ooh.
Oh, I thought you were saying there was a place called runner-up.
No. So, it's going to be a little weird, but for those of you who have tasted Zoop, they just closed down recently, about a month and a half, 2 months ago. So it'd be cool to have them back.
Yeah.
Kind of like them, you know.
I never tried them. I know the Onguianos loved them.
It was sad. It was a very sad moment. Didn't even see it coming. But yeah, Zoop would be nice to have back. So.
I would agree. As I'm munching on my PB&J.
Yeah. Or I wouldn't also be opposed to a Five Guys.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, one place that's up in Salem is called Nancy's.
Yes. Nancy's
exactly
Burgers
like
and Fries.
Five Guys with just their own little twist on it. Not even so much a twist, it's just different people designing the meals, so just a different flavor to it. But same idea for sure. I really love that place too. I'm not gonna say it's better or worse, it's just another good place along the lines of Five Guys if you don't want to go all the way to Portland.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, final question. Pretty similar to the one that Gabby asked, but we can answer the end of it. This is from Caster Bear, also known as Cassidy Benson, Lars' girlfriend.
Hey.
And she asks, what is each of your guys' favorite kind of food / restaurant? So we already answered the food part. Let's go with the restaurant.
Kind of a restaurant. Man. I think it's a toss-up for me between really good Mexican food and Hawaiian food. Both of those, just, I love them. I can't pick between the two.
Thai chili.
Thai chili. Okay.
That's my
solid,
answer.
Going specific. Choice. She did say kind of restaurant.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Asian or Mexican.
There you go.
Those are my go-to.
Thai chili.
Thai chili. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
But.
For those of you who want to know, I finished my PB&J. I might be coughing because I ate that so fast. But.
You good?
It was better than 3 minutes and 50 seconds.
Probably not. I don't think so.
No, I did not wolf it down like that. Mm-mm.
No, not full.
Wait, did I spend 2 minutes down there? Did you guys make it time?
No, we didn't time you.
Come on, okay.
It was probably like 2 minutes. I mean, I bet we could go back to the recording
and like listen.
But anyways.
Because you're hearing the clinking, like.
Yeah, you can hear the spoon just going through it. I'm like, oh my gosh.
And so sorry, Nathan, I took all your jelly. Okay.
Whatever is yours is his, right? But
not for a couple months.
Not for a few more
less
days.
Less than 70 days. Anyways.
Yeah. But anyways, to wrap this episode up, we're going to do a special thing. We're each going to ask each other questions we have not talked about yet that have just popped into our minds that we'd like to ask each other.
I have one.
Okay.
If you could close... Oh my goodness, I'm going to burp. Never mind. Close one fast food chain due to disgusting
this
food.
This is easy.
What would it be?
This is easy.
I'm throwing out free.
Taco time. Easy.
You guys probably heard that episode. That was a sad time. Taco time is sad time.
Yeah. That was too easy, Corinne, but thanks for trying.
Mine might be too hard. I haven't fully thought of my answer yet, but let's say, what is, in your memory, the most defining food moment that just defined your tastes in food?
Ooh.
In your life?
Wow.
Now we're hitting philosophical
That's
here.
A little deep. All right. The defining moment in food.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I think I have mine if you guys need a second to stew on it.
That's like the equivalent of like what is the meaning of life but for foodies.
Jeez. Like when, because all I can think of is when I had an aha moment of eating something that was outside my mom's house and just went, bless, this is so tasty. That's my word, by the way. My mom would always be like, is it tasty, Corinne? And I'd say, yes, it's very tasty. Because I said it in a certain way, I guess. And I... Probably when I had my mom's white sauce chicken lasagna.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Have you made that before for us?
I have. And it's really, really good. And that like, just all the flavors melded together, like Ratatouille. We always reference it. What are we going to do? You know? And it's just... I remember eating it. For the first time when I was a kid, and it was delicious. And that opened up my range. Granted, I eat a lot of food anyways, but yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think for me, most defining would have to be when my mom made this dish, and she tried to recreate it on my birthday, so you guys have tried round three or four of it, but it didn't work out quite the same.
Mm.
It was still good, though. But my mom had this crazy idea to make essentially a fettuccine Alfredo type of dish, but then put blueberries in it.
Yeah, that was so good and so unique, right? And so random, but it was like one of the most interesting flavor combinations I've ever had in my life. But
that was
the most
skeptical I felt in a while, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like one of those, you're like, what is happening? Why is this happening? You know, like, what is this in front of me right now? You know?
The sweet/tart with your Alfredo sauce.
Yeah, you wouldn't think it would be good, but it just worked.
I think that
just kind of opened my eyes to different flavor combinations actually working. I don't know. I think after that meal, I just opened up to more possibilities with what I'm willing to eat.
I would agree. But that would be a really good defining moment. Miguel's got his thinking pants on.
It's going to get a little deep here. So,
deep toxicity.
So, like human experiences and how we define ourselves, I think defining your taste buds is a journey. That has different points in life that happen. So, like, at one point when you're a kid, you're like, man, I just ate this. This is the greatest thing in my life. You know, for example, like, one good example for me is, like, man, I used to love pizza so much. I treated it as a delicacy growing up. Like, because we didn't have it very much, you know, because my mom was kind of anti-junk food growing up. But for me, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is, like, one of the greatest things man has ever brought to us, you know. But then when I started working for Domino's, I got to the overload part where I had it every night for like the next 3 months, and I got like sick of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I got sick of it. So, I mean, taste buds, I think, is a journey, because you have moments where you will taste something, you will not like it, you will come back to it 7 years later, and you will actually see. You will no longer be blind. You will see the light, you know? And so I think it's just a journey, Lars. I don't have a definite moment for you. I think my whole life has been a definite moment. I think my experiences have shaped my taste buds,
yeah.
Whether maybe for the good or the bad.
Yeah.
But I think I'm still changing. I'm still evolving with my taste buds. I think it's a nonstop thing, you know. I think an important thing Ezekiel Elliott shows us is, hey, keep feeding the beast, you know. We'll take care of the rest from
Can
there.
Can we get this whole monologue on the back of a t-shirt for one of our merch?
Yeah, we can. We'll just have to get it down word for word. But
I'll subscribe. It's fine.
But that is my answer. That is my answer to your question.
Okay. I feel you on that. And I actually just this weekend had an experience that really falls in line with that, where we have this family recipe called watermelon stew.
Mm-hmm.
We learned it from my step-grandma, I guess she is. Her name's Emma. What? A recipe for cold water. Thanks, Bixby. it's like Siri for Samsung. It's weird.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
It doesn't have anything to do with watermelon. We learned it from, I think it was my step-grandma's sister or something like that. Emma is my step-grandma. I just call her Emma. That's who she is. She is from Argentina.
Okay.
And it was her family from Argentina that taught us the recipe. And it's a lot like ceviche.
Mm.
I don't know the details of the difference, but basically you've got tomato juice kind of base to it.
Okay.
It's a cold...
Like Clamato and all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we go with V8. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But then we've got like... shrimp in it, imitation crab, cucumbers, ton of cilantro.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's served cold. Well, yeah. I hated it growing up. It was disgusting. And cilantro, I didn't know what it was at the time, but cilantro was what I hated. I couldn't stand it. Well, these days, cilantro's just fine. And I just had some, Sunday, on Father's Day, my mom made some. And it was just delightful. And it wasn't the first time I've liked it, but that was the first time I was just like, oh, this is outstanding. I could eat gallons of it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just that slow growth when it comes to cilantro.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
It's growth, you know, just like when you're a kid and you're a punk, and then you grow up and you blossom into this young man. But that young man's still growing.
Yeah.
Same with their taste buds. We're still evolving, y'all. So
that was me with avocados. I used to hate avocados, and now I like guac.
Yeah.
That was my little...
See?
Not...
And now you take people's guac.
Depth. Yeah.
So if you have guac and Corinne's around, hide it.
Yeah, sorry. Just a heads up. So what's your question, Biggie?
So...
Good question, Lars.
Here's my question.
That was really good.
If you could own one restaurant in Corvallis, which one would it be and why?
Ooh.
Like, you're the person running the show now at this place. So think hard. Think of the legacy that's there. Think of what it could be if it was under your ownership.
Block 15.
Why?
I eat there all the time. Their beer batter fries are amazing. And their magic mushrooms. Oh,
Ooh. So you just eat the products?
I support yes. this.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes. I support this because I could convince you to bring back their old version of the pub steak sandwich that was more pepper based and less onion based.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Plus, it's on the block and everybody likes it, and you can draw on the tables. It's a fun experience. And apparently the tables are a little bit more magnetic. I didn't know that until I put my phone, which has a magnetic case on it, and I couldn't pick it up. So there's that.
Interesting.
Fun fact. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, block 15.
I wonder why that is. I never noticed that.
They also, they have a bakery bar that's really good, which is a cake-like bar with chocolate chips in it, and then they put ice cream and chocolate syrup and caramel syrup on top of it, and it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
The bar, oh, it's so good. Anyways, that's my answer.
Lars?
You know, I haven't fully thought through this, so this probably isn't my final answer, but the pressure's on, the clock is ticking, so I'm going to go with Riva's.
Interesting.
Why?
Because it's awful. But people go there all the time. So many people eat at Riva's. That place is popping. With that quality, like, how much would it take to improve the quality a little bit? Not much. So
is it
just
cheap?
Bump up that quality a little bit, and there's already that established customer base. I feel like I could make some pretty solid money off of that, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Is it cheaper than
yeah.
your... Yeah,
it's,
than, like,
it's not expensive.
Dead. Okay.
It's,
yeah. That probably makes sense.
It's around average, yeah.
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 College students looking for burritos.
That's the only thing open, like, late at night,
yeah, it's
too.
24 hours, isn't it?
Right. Drive-through, I think.
Yep.
I think drive-through is,
yep.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
However, I'm going to go with Tacos on the Machine. Here's why.
That's
so,
Mickey's, like, favorite place.
Unlike Corinne, I don't want it just for the product. I don't want to just eat my product.
You sure?
I don't want to just make easy money. But I'd like to use it for what, like, where the starting point is at right now to expand it into a franchise chain, you know, in Corvallis, and to make it something bigger. Make it the first kind of official Mexican restaurant that people can say, that's the best Mexican restaurant in town, and they've set their legacy here.
So you're saying you
So get them to a point where they can become that. Because right now there's no big ball player who's like the definitive Mexican restaurant that's the clear, definite, best Mexican
Wait,
restaurant
what
in town.
About that place back behind Spaeth Lumber? Over on
Casa
9th.
Del Sol?
Yeah, Casa del Sol.
No one
Casa
ever says Casa del Sol when I said, what's the best Mexican restaurant here? No one ever says that. Like,
why not?
Have I don't know why. Because I, okay, one. Because
it's hidden behind a lumber
yard. Okay, one, I haven't been there, so I don't know.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah, I haven't been there.
That
Two,
like
I, people just don't mention to me as much. Like, I've heard of it, but people don't, like, recommend it to me. Like, hey, man, you should try this place. You know, they don't say that. You know, maybe I've gotten, like, once or twice. That was probably from you or something. But, like, there's no clear, like, winner right now in Corvallis. There's no definite, like, this is our land. You know, this is our town, you know.
Mm.
There's no restaurant that can say that right now. I mean, La Roquita is trying to make strides right now. I see them playing the game right now. But, you know, they're not there yet. No one's taken number one on the podium so far.
Yeah.
Everyone's off to the races with that. Okay. So my thing would be they're in a good spot to have that potential to be the best. If they can just take the feedback from people, keep doing what they're doing well, and slowly add on and slowly develop themselves well.
Slowly remove lettuce from their burritos. I don't like their burritos. They're gross.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was like, wait, what? I was like, okay, I got you. But yeah, there's the feedback.
Yeah. Slowly removed.
An easy fix, Lars, by the way. Just ask for no lettuce.
Yeah, or just light lettuce, you know. I like lettuce on my burrito. I've only had one. There's time to improve it. But.
There is time. There's opportunities.
Yeah.
But that's my answer to that.
It seems like you've had, like, your own business plan. brewing in your head.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I would like to own my own restaurant, my own business of some sort. That'd be fun. That'd be super fun. But for now, you know, I'm going to stick to what we can do right now. And down the road when I'm nice and old and I can just come in and yell at my employees, hey, that's going to be the dream.
You're still living your punk life, I see.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Anyways. But that is our nice Q&A episode. Didn't really expect you to bring a PB&J sandwich up here, Corinne. But
hey, you know, adds to the flair. That's why you had me on. It's random and it's Corinne. That's what it is.
So I apologize for the spoon sounds in the background, but we'll work on that. But
there's your bloopers, Gabby. There you go.
Apparently, it's all raw, Gabby, like we've mentioned. But I do want to say, if you guys have any questions, regardless of whether a Q&A episode is ever coming up, feel free to send it to us.
Please
do. We'd love to answer it. We don't mind answering questions during the show. But for those of you who have been listening, we appreciate it. Man, if you guys want to be guests on our show, send us that email. Get in touch with us. We'd love to have people on the show. It's been fun to just have guests. But for the meantime, hey, we're just going to keep chowing down and we're going to keep doing our thing. So with that, you guys want to throw any last thoughts?
Go Biebs.
You're always jumping the gun.
I'm like, go Biebs. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know,
there's never too much go Biebs.
There isn't. You got to have the pep.
Yeah, go Biebs.
Yeah. So that's it?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
All right.
That PB&J sandwich was good, by the way, if anybody wanted to know.
All right.
Okay. But anyways, thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back with y'all in a couple weeks here. So stay tuned. Keep up to date in what we're doing. And as always, we always say,
go Biebs.
Go
Biebs.